If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And so when you have vision, it means that you begin to take the necessary steps to be successful beyond your current position. African Americans lack vision because we've come to this country in bondage, depending upon someone else to care for us. Then we depended upon someone to get us free. And then we depended upon someone from Washington to help us get the social programs. And then we were dependent upon another ethnic group to help us get jobs. And then we were dependent and dependent and dependent. So by the time we come to Christ, we are dependent, but unfortunately not on Him. And so our vision suffers. We can see no further than the political programs of the Democratic Party, so that when a strong Republican comes in to abolish said programs, we begin to rebel and say that they are insensitive because they don't want to keep giving us fish. They may be a blessing of God to teach you how to fish so that you can begin to care for yourself. Amens are gone away because most Pentecostal Christians are Democrats who think the government owes them something. Do you know that that dependent mindset, it's also translated into our Bible exegesis. My God shall supply all of my needs. Do you know how you made need plural? The Bible doesn't say it's plural, it's singular. It says God shall supply everything that I need, singular. We've made it needs because we've turned God into Franklin Roosevelt. So God needs to continue to enact legislation to give me things and give me things. But scripturally, God made us to be productive. And if you're honest, you'll know different ideas come to your mind. Things come to your mind where you can succeed, and yet you're afraid to go because vision is impaired by your right now circumstance. And since we have not only invoked the theology of change, not only have we taught it, not only have we sliced it and diced it and buttered it and served it to you toasted, we also want you to begin to think in terms of increasing or enlarging your vision. To go from sight to vision. And if you're willing to go on this ride, then please know it will be painful. I suggest to you that right now God is holding up the eye chart that the optometrist uses, and you're probably looking at the letters based upon the clarity of your sight. And that just means the letters you're looking at, there's no fuzziness there, no blurriness there, and you're comfortable there as long as they can be fixed by lenses. But I need to say something to you that I said back when we were doing healing services. We accept certain things in our lives that mess with our vision, and we allow them to stay simply because they can be corrected by lenses. Many of us sit here today, our vision is sorely impaired, and we've accepted it because there's always a way to handle it. But if you are going to be a proponent of change, if you are going to be an associate of change, a participator of change, then you must enlarge your vision. Now, I understand for the baby boomer, it may be too late. You're settling into retirement. You're bouncing your grandchildren on your knee. You're enjoying your great-grandchildren and anticipating a life in Florida. But for the baby buster and the Generation Xer and the millennium child, you are now tasked with the responsibility to enlarge your vision, or else you will be doomed to repeat the failures of your generation. Baby boomers were born between 46 and 66. But if you turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the first ingredient to having clear vision, 1 Samuel chapter 3, how far along are you in your Bible reading? Leviticus. All right, catch up with me. I'm in Deuteronomy. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Samuel's task was to serve the Lord, and the scripture inserts his connection to Eli. In other words, Samuel submitted to the high priest. He was not off doing his own thing. Samuel submitted to the priest. "And the word of the Lord was rare." The King James says precious. That word means rare. "The word of the Lord was rare in those days." Why? Because there was no clear vision. This is critical to a vision. A vision cannot be self-contained, nor can a vision be held by one person without significant clarity. Any prophetic utterance is the implementation of a vision. If the prophetic utterance is not clear, you've not received clear vision. You've received cataract vision. If you don't walk away from the prophetic utterance with clarity of the problem enough to solve it, then what you've received is more confusion. And since God is not the author of confusion, then we need to understand how we obtain clarity during prophetic words, preaching. You should not leave here with more confusion than you came in. And so here it says that there was no open vision. And since there was no open vision, this really sets the stage for the reason that Samuel creates his school of prophets. The Old Testament teaches us there are two schools of prophets. There's Samuel's school and there's Elijah's school. Samuel's school taught the young men how to hear from God. God is constantly speaking, but it says the word of the Lord was rare. It doesn't say it was completely gone. It's just that God lacked people to receive it. It's like KYW is broadcasting all the time, but I remember I used to drive down to a church in Bridgeton, and I would use KYW to pay attention to the traffic, and at some point in my travel, the station was no longer clear. I'd get a lot of static because the area was out of reach for the transmission. KYW had not stopped broadcasting. I was out of reach. So if you can't hear from God, it's not because he stopped talking. It's that you're out of range. Now we have to understand why are we out of range? What caused this disconnect? He says there was no open vision, and it came to pass that when Eli was laying down, his eyes began to wax dim, cataracts, so he couldn't see. Because Eli was extremely large, and chances are as a result of that physical problem, he may have developed some sicknesses. And his eyes were dim, so he couldn't see. So he's developing cataracts or maybe even glaucoma. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, and the lamp was what was set there so that the priest could have some minuscule light. You don't need a lot of light when you're dealing with God because he is the light, but he gives you a symbolic light so you can at least start. The light that was in the temple didn't reveal sin. It wasn't bright enough. But the God of the temple revealed sin at the brazen altar. Worship doesn't reveal sin. Sin is revealed at the altar. That's why many churches are closing down the altar as a place of sacrifice and turning it into a place of money reception. If I make it money reception, then it's no longer bloody. The altar is supposed to be bloody. This is where you come to get purged. This is where you come to confess. Lord dealt with me during the Christmas season. He said, I don't want poinsettias at my altar anymore. He said, they make my altar too pretty, and the altar's not supposed to be pretty. He said, tell them they can put them up the steps. Because the lamp of God goes out when true sacrifice is replaced by physical or earthly pleasures. There should be one place in the church, one place in your home, one place in your life where you can go to God and get open heart surgery. And open heart surgery is bloody, it's painful, and it takes a while to recuperate. You don't walk from the altar feeling all up and giddy. You walk from the altar deeply humbled by the fact that God showed you what you were. It says, while this happens, the Lord calls to Samuel. And Samuel answers, here am I. You know the story. He goes back and forth with Eli. And then Eli finally gets the revelation that the Lord is calling Samuel. And he tells them in verse 9, he tells him, all right, the next time you hear this, go lay down. And if you hear it again, just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And Samuel went down and lay in his place, and the Lord spoke one more time. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. My brothers and sisters, we must understand that this is preached, and people tend to exaggerate about Samuel's call of God and how he runs over to Eli, and this is substantive for that particular sermon. But I want to capitalize on the part that talks about the word of the Lord was rare and there was no clear vision. But why? Why was there no clear vision. Eli was the man that was tasked with bringing the clarity of God to the people. If we translate that into the 21st century, everyone who says they are called of God into biblical ministry, they are tasked with bringing the clarity of God to the people. That means every time you have connection with me through Bible study, through Sunday preaching, or any time I stand behind the desk of God to impart the word of God, you ought to walk out with your vision clearer. You ought to know more about your Father this afternoon than you did this morning because we've spent time together. If the vision of God is clear, then you'll understand more about him. I said to God this morning in my devotion, I said, Lord, it seems like the more I learn about you, the more questions come up. I said, I don't understand some things that you do. And I find myself in David's position. Why do you let the wicked prosper? Why don't you just get rid of them?
Right.
It would make things easier for all of us. I don't understand. You sit in heaven and you know who commits every crime. Why not just lead the officers to the person who did it? You said that they bear the sword of the Lord, not in vain. I don't get you sometimes. What are you trying to do? And as I sat there, the Holy Spirit brought back to my mind the life of Saul. And Saul was a murderer. He stood and gave consent to the stoning of Stephen. He hunted Christians down, and we're led to believe that he was involved not only in their arrest, but also in their death. Yeah. And if God was the God who exacted justice at the moment of the transgression, I submit to you, we would have had no Paul.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you, and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.